Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We're glad that you are joining us today. If you would like to learn more about our church, check out our website at r4sq.org. Now stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy and God bless.
I'm going to tell you, it's kind of hard looking into the crowd tonight. Everybody's blinking and lightning and I'm like, I cannot. Sherry said, if you just put your glasses on, you'd be fine. Now all is well. Amen? Whew. Ladies, what a night. Hey, I was getting this message together and I was praying about it. And, you know, I said, I'm just going to be honest. Christmas messages, Father's Day, Mother's Day, those are tough messages. They're tough because people are hurting. And not only that, if you've been in the church for a while, you feel like you've already heard everything she's going to say anyway. So I began to pray. And I said, God, give us something new and fresh. Give us a fresh word. You know he's faithful. He'll show you a little twist that you didn't even see coming. Amen? Well, I believe he's going to do that tonight. You know, Everybody's getting married. I keep seeing all these fabulous weddings, and I love weddings. I love doing them. I love attending them. I love everything about it. You know, and tonight I'm thinking about the bride. And she shows up, and she looks fabulous. It's all about the gown. You know, she spends weeks picking that thing out. It's all about the gown. You know, and it made me think about when I got married. The newspaper, well, I live in Hartsel, okay? It's little, you know. The newspaper came to my house. Oh, they wanted to see my dress. They wanted to know all the details. And they actually wrote up an article about my dress. They talked about the pearls, how many were sewn on. They talked about the sequins. And they talked about the veil. And I felt like Princess Di. You know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you, Jay Waite could have shown up barefooted and nobody would have noticed. It's all about the gown. It's all about the bride. Well, there was a man. And the scripture tells us that he was a righteous man. And the Hebrew word for righteous is tzedek. Tzedek. If you're taking notes, it's T-S-A-D-D-I-Y-Q, and it's pronounced Tzedek. And it means that he was known for his uncompromising obedience to the Torah. Okay? That's what that means. And this man did not eat unclean food. He did not mix with the wrong people. He did not keep his carpentry shop open on the Sabbath, trying to make a few extra pennies. Being righteous was his identity. Everyone knew this about him. Nobody was inviting him over for a ham sandwich, to sit with the prostitutes, to sit with the tax collectors. They just weren't going to do it because this man was tzedek. He was what everybody wanted to be. Kind of like an athlete that wants to be the all-star. The businessman that wants to be the CEO. Well, if you're an Israelite, you want to be tzedek. You want to be known for being tzedek. The problem with this story is that his 12-year-old fiance showed up and she said, well, I'm pregnant. And he said, no, that ain't my baby. No, that ain't my baby. Tell that to your neighbor. No, that ain't my baby. Now, Facebook, what I meant to say was, that is not my child. That ain't my baby. Okay, if you're here, that's the way we say it. Okay, I got to stop right there just a second, because I'm going to tell you, Joseph, I always thought he was a wimp. Yes, no, maybe. Well, he didn't have anything to say. He didn't say one word. So you see why I'm kind of questioning who he is, what kind of man he is? Watch this. So this couple lived in Nazareth, a small town of about 100 people. Now, I just said to you, I am from Hartzell. That is a very tiny town. If there is anything going on in your life, every single person in the neighborhood knows about your business. So it was in Nazareth. I just told you that he was ascetic, meaning he's known for his uncompromising obedience to the Torah. Now, how do you know that he was ascetic? And by the way, did I tell you he was 17? Scholars believe he was 17 years old. I always believed he was older than that. In my mind, I had decided he was 100 years old and he just wanted to get with Mary. I'm sorry. He didn't have anything to say. Take up for yourself. Man up. Boy, did I miss it. Some of you missed it too, didn't you? Okay, hang on. Matthew 1:19 says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a man that was just or righteous, God said, he's ascetic." God said so, okay? Now, the Torah has some clear instructions for someone in his fiancé's circumstance. You buckle up, about right now would be a good time. Deuteronomy 22 covers marriage violation. And let me tell you what it says. Basically, if a woman is engaged to be married and is unfaithful, it says this. She shall be brought. Oh, you're not ready. She shall be brought to the door of her father's house. Ooh. She shall be brought to the door of her father's house. And there the men of the town shall stone her to death. She has done a disgraceful thing in Israel by being promiscuous while living in her father's house. Now let me talk to you or remind you very quickly about stoning. Let me tell you what stoning is not. Stoning is not her showing up in front of her dad's house at the door. 50 men in the community show up with a pebble. It's not 20 men showing up with a rock this big. It might be 5 men showing up with a rock as big as a Volkswagen. Why? Because they did not stand in front of the person that was going to be punished and throw rocks at them. What they did is they built an apparatus. Do you remember me teaching this? They built an apparatus and they would sump about 6 feet, the scholars believe, about 6 feet. And they would get those stones on this apparatus. And while the woman was standing underneath it, the men would shove that stone, boom, until it crushed her to pieces. This is no joke. With that being said, I wonder today, maybe I better just leave that right there, if there was some accountability at all today, if there was any at all, would things be different? Couple of quick facts. Joseph is believed to be 17 years old. His father was Jacob. His hometown was Bethlehem in Judah, but he lived in Nazareth in Galilee. He was from the royal line of David. He was a carpenter by trade. He was poor. He was ascetic, and he was obedient. Now, do any of you in this room know a 17-year-old? Yes. Raise your hand. Okay. Breathe in. I remember when my sons were 17. God made the choice. He didn't ask us, okay? I'm going to move right along. God knew he was 17. A couple of things that are significant about Joseph. Nobody ever talks about Joseph for Christmas. So when he said, talk about Joseph, I'm like, oh, man, there's nothing there. Oh, my goodness, there's so much there. I didn't know he was 17. But anyway, back to him being 17. Joseph was an amazing man at 17, and God knew he would be. He was substantial. But I tell you, he's very much like the man at a wedding. We don't sing his story at Christmas time. We don't see any cards with him holding baby Jesus. There's no fame. He's not even the most well-known Joseph in the Bible. Did you hear that? He's not even the most famous Joseph. Pastor Angela, you'll love this one. Do you remember the song, Angels We Have Heard on High? I love that song. Well, there is a verse that mentions Joseph. One, and it says, see him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Isn't that beautiful? Well, there's only one verse, and guess what? It is omitted from almost every hymnal ever printed. He got one shot. They even deleted him in that. I'm telling you. He just kind of falls through the cracks. You know what I mean? He is a man of significance, and we don't even recognize it. So I'm studying him, and I said, God, how did I miss this? You chose him. And I missed it. I want us to look at the account tonight from the Gospel of Luke through new lenses, now that you know this information about Joseph. Through a better understanding of why Jesus' dad responded the way he did when he heard Jesus' father. Okay, I'm going to need you to hear that again. Why Jesus' dad responded the way he did when he heard from Jesus' father. That's deep. In the sixth month, now sit back and enjoy this. We're being referred to, what is being referred to here is Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. During this time, Nazareth had a population of barely 100, so everybody knew everybody's business. We just talked about that. They were hard-working folks. They were laborers. They were shepherds. They were tradesmen. They were farmers. They were poor. Remember, Nathanael said, Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her, the angel did, and he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting that was. Keep in mind, she's 12. What kind of greeting was that? And the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I want to remind you one more time, this child is 12 years old. She's trying to plan a wedding. And he shows up, and everything shifted. She just wanted to talk about the gown and where they were going to seat everybody. And he shows up and he sits down. And the angel said, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, meaning the Almighty. You 12-year-old daughter, are going to bear a son, the Almighty. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This 12-year-old child, you see, she knew the promises like all the other Jewish young women did. I believe she might have even harbored in her heart the possibility that she just might be the one chosen to carry God's son. But can you, it's one of those things you're just wishing. But can you imagine when he shows up and he says, Mary. And she just wanted to talk about the menu for the meal. And he shows up. We're told that after a bit of time passed, she had time to digest what had just happened to her. And we're told that she hurriedly went to Elizabeth. This is about 80 miles from Nazareth. Now, it says she hurriedly went. Why do you think she hurriedly went? Kim, why do you think that? Have you ever thought about it? Why do you think she hurriedly went? Carolyn, what do you think?
Because she wanted to get out of
town. She was hiding. She was hiding. And I pondered that. And you know what I realized? Every time in my life, when God has sat down and said, you, whatever. What did I do? The first thing I've ever done, I do it every time. I want to hide. Every time. Because when he calls you to something you can't do yourself, you want to run. Because if he don't show up, you're going to fail. She run. I love that about her. Because we can relate to that. Can't we? That's so good. I love her. So you know the story. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. 80 miles, she treks. We don't know how long it took. She gets there. Throws open the door, and there she is. And when she began to speak, do you remember the story? Elizabeth immediately confirmed what she was in the presence of. Now, I want to remind you that Mary had just had an encounter. Now, we don't know at what point she became pregnant. We don't know at what point she conceived. We don't know how many days it took. We don't know how many days it took. Can I say it or no? So we don't know how many days it took. No, okay. So if there was somebody, we don't know how long it took for her to get there. But when she showed up, immediately Elizabeth starts affirming her. Why? Because I'm telling you right now, she can't tell she's pregnant. Because it hasn't been long enough. It's only been a few days, a couple of weeks at best. How did Elizabeth know? Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes in and he sits down at your table, you know he's there.
Right. That's good.
She knocks on the door. Whew. There's no denying when he sits down. Amen? I don't know about you, but this story this time has just turned me upside down. And I've heard this story. I don't even know how many times I've read this story. And I'm thinking about her. I want to be so filled with his spirit that you can't help but pursue the one that I'm in pursuit of. You can't help it. And that is what Mary was doing. She didn't even know she was different. She just walked in the door. It wasn't for her at that moment. So Mary is there. Elizabeth is 6 months along. You know, you remember the story, the baby leaps in her womb. You remember all that. They become filled with the Spirit. And she stays there for 3 months. Now, in 3 months, if you're 3 months along, you're going to begin to show at 3 months. Ladies, yes or no? You got a little pooch, right? You got a little something. So she's 3 months along. Because you see, she's been in hiding. She knows what's coming. She's got the promise, but she's not ready to share it yet. So she's in hiding. Well, now she's 3 months. And it's time to face the music. She gets herself pulled together, and she has to go tell him. Now, I want you to picture this. This man that I described to you that is unmovable when it comes to the things of God and the Torah. He is uncompromising. Hey, Joe, I got some good news and I got some bad news. See, we're not told about that conversation right there. I can only imagine. Joe, hey. And he's going, what? She said, well, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you. And she says, the bad news, you always get that first. The bad news is I'm pregnant, and even though we're not married. That's the bad news. But the good news is I have not been with anybody. Okay. He's 17. Y'all remember 17. He's 17. He's a holy man. What do you think he did? Let's just get real in here. I know we're being taped, but he's 17. She shows up. She's got a baby bump. And she said, hey, but it's okay because I haven't been with anybody. So it's okay. It's good. We're good. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing. That ain't my baby. No, it ain't. Because let me tell you something. He's a holy man. She's like, oh. Well, let me tell you. There was this angel. And then there were... What? You think I'm going to buy that? Well, wonder how long they had a conversation. Wonder how long they discussed this. Kim, you're funny. Yes, Maury Povich. Yes, they probably want to do that. But we're not told about that conversation. But I want you to put yourself in his shoes for just a minute. I don't know about you, but in order for me to believe a story like that, if my child came in, I don't have a daughter. It's going to be throat punch Thursday. I don't care what day it is, because I'm not going to believe that story. An angel did what? I'm going to need you to sit down. And you're going to have to try a better story than that, because I'm not buying that. So what's different than... Are you following me? God himself is going to have to show up in my bedroom and explain that before I'm going to buy it. Anybody? Any other moms? When they try that angel trick, don't go for that. Okay. Only Jesus. Okay? Okay. Anyway, back to the story. God knows exactly what it's going to take for you to get on board with what he's doing. He knows exactly what you need. And if he needs to show up in your bedroom in a dream so that you are convinced that he has done a thing, then I'm going to tell you something. He's going to show up in your bedroom in a dream. Anybody ever have a dream? Show me. Does he show up in your dreams? Yes or no? He knows how to penetrate your heart. He knows what you need and what it's going to take to get you where you got to be. And if he needs to show up, he'll show up in a way. If he needs to send somebody, and this is crazy, but if he needs to release some money into your hands so that you will see him move, he'll release it. He knows what you need. Jesus. God met him that day at the point of his need, at exactly the right moment. He showed up in multiple dreams. I can't help but think Joseph is laying there on the ground, staring in the sky, going, okay, I've heard a lot of things. What is happening to my life? What is happening to my life? And under those stars, I just can't help but believe. He shows up. And this is what he said, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It was at that moment that Jesus' dad hears from Jesus' father. He said, align yourself. I'm doing a thing here. You can't understand it. You can never understand it. You just align yourself. He had to hear it at that moment. Oh, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, he said. You know what? That was all Joseph needed to hear. Because I'm telling you something. When you know that you have heard from God Almighty, nothing can move you. I don't understand when people say to me, oh, well, you know, he said to do this, but I hadn't done it yet. Well, then you ain't heard him. Because if you've heard from him, you can't help but submit. It's God Almighty in your midst. So I question when I hear things like that. It takes some kind of crazy knowing he spoke to you and you deliberately disobeyed. That's some kind of stupid. We don't use words like that, do we? No. But that's crazy. This is God Almighty speaking to you. Submit yourself. Oh, that's all Joseph needed to hear. Let me show you his finest hour. You ready? Woo, this is Joseph's finest hour right here. Matthew 1:24, this is what it says. Woo, it's his finest hour. He wakes up because he had had an encounter with God. He wakes up. Woo, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her home to be his wife. Just like that. You see, that man was set it. He's not playing. Oh, you said it? Yes, sir. You might not always understand it, but did he say it? Then stop. You better stop right now. Did he say a thing? That's how you know when to move. Amen. Every step that Joseph takes testifies of his greatness. Watch this. By marrying her quickly, he broke every Jewish law. Did you know that an engagement was 10 to 12 months long? Signs are flying. Everybody's watching because you see, everybody knew they were engaged. There was a period of time that they had to wait. But you see, he had a word from God. He said, take her to be your wife. Sometimes you got to make a decision based on you know what he said to you. It doesn't matter if your sister believes what he said. Sometimes it don't matter if your bestie don't believe it. You better move. He said, oh, yes, sir. Just like that. Boom, yes, sir. She was pregnant and he wasn't the daddy. Sometimes God will ask you to do craziness. But you know what I love about Mary? She didn't say, that is not possible. What's wrong with you? She said, sir, how could this be? Well, may it be unto me as you have said. Doesn't matter if I get it. Amen. Doesn't matter if you get it. Number two, by keeping her a virgin until Jesus was born, he protected the miracle of Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit. We act like that's not important. There's no place in Scripture where it says that God told him, don't you lay with her until that child is born. There's no evidence. Why would he do that, Betty? Why would he do that? The fear of God, I believe. He knew what was at stake. He knew what was in jeopardy. And then the third thing, critical. By naming the baby as God instructed, you have to get how big that is. God said, name him, call him Jesus. When he did that, he exercised a father's prerogative and officially took Jesus into his family as his own legal son. That is why God said, name him. Name him like he belongs to you. Okay, do you remember, very quickly, I'm going to backtrack because we got to go, but I have to show you this. If you go back and you study in Matthew, Mary and Joseph are engaged. They are called husband and wife in the Gospel of Matthew. Why? Because engagement was like a legal document. They had agreed to, they had signed, and they could only break it by death or divorce. Very similar circumstance. When he named Jesus, it became official and he became his own. Do you see why Joseph, as the dad, had to name his son? It wasn't his biological son, but there was a positioning that happened because he obeyed. Watch this. He didn't partially obey. He didn't pick and choose what was comfortable. He did exactly what God said. And had he not done it, he would have given up his position legally as his father. If he had named him Zechariah, everything would have fallen apart. It was the fear of God that caused him to obey. Partial obedience is disobedience. Amen? Closing with this right here. Joseph stands. I have a great new respect for him. He stands as a testimony to the value of integrity, obedience, faithfulness, and especially to honoring the entrusted role, watch this, of fatherhood. Whenever Jesus grew up, you got to get ready for this, and he began his ministry, he chose one word above all others to describe what God was like. He called him Father. How did he know to call him Father? Because Joseph taught him. Oh, you got to get that. Father. Do you remember when Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer? He began the prayer by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus introduced, watch this, to the disciples a new name for God. It was Abba. Father, Daddy. Yes. Yes. You see, Jesus called God Abba, Father, Daddy. He was reflecting his relationship with Joseph. God chose Joseph to nurture his son. From infancy to manhood, he taught him how to love, how to honor, how to submit. He taught him. Was God teaching his son? Yes, but he put Joseph in his world to nurture him because God chose him because of who he was. A 17 year-old Zedek. He was tough when he could have been weak. He was tender when he could have been harsh. He was thoughtful when he could have responded quickly because he had a better plan. He was trusting when he could have doubted. He valued mercy over judgment. He denied himself for the sake of someone else. He was prepared to be God's man. He was submitted to God's will over his own. So I ask this tonight. What has he said to you that you've only partially obeyed to? Pastor Angela, can you help me? What has he said that you're running from? Are you hiding? How long is the hiding been? It's okay to hide, I think, for a small season. Because sometimes he asks us to do great things. And I don't know about you, but sometimes insecurity just kind of surrounds you. And you think, oh God, you picked the wrong girl this time. Just like Joseph, he doesn't care about your age. He doesn't. Look at Zacharias. Look at Elizabeth. And then we look at Mary. And then we look at Simeon. And then we look at Anna, over 80 years old, prominent people in the life and the story of Jesus Christ. 12 to above 80. Every single one significant. Every single one prominent. What has he said that we've not completely obeyed? I want to be like Joseph, don't you? Where he says, do a thing. Yes. Oh, you don't even have time to hiccup. Yes. I want to be that woman. I want to be ready when he says, go right now, get up and run. I want to have my shoes on. I don't want to have to get them on and lace them up, Lisa. Timing is critical, isn't it?
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has touched or impacted your life through Restoration Church or our Winning Women Ministry, please take a few moments to share with us your testimony by emailing us your story at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.